content provided in this podcast is intended for informational, educational, and entertainment purposes only. It is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical or mental health advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician, mental health provider, or other qualified health provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical or mental health condition. Thank you and enjoy the episode. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the podcast. Today's episode is I'm going to say it's going to be a bit of a quick one, but also it might not end up being a quick one because I might end up rambling about things that I didn't really plan on. So we'll see how it ends up. But I wanted to record something for today as it's February 20th and February 20th marks 9 years since I lost my fiance, Nick, in an avalanche in Golden, British Columbia. And that day, as I've spoken about on this podcast, was a day that forever changed me. And that's kind of a bit of an understatement when I say it like that. But it was a pivotal day in the trajectory of my life. And today, I had mentioned in the last episode that I wasn't sure if I was going to carry on with the first few episodes that I had kind of planned in my roadmap at the beginning, to talk about sort of that foundation of courage and how I see courage. And it sort of worked out. And so today I am talking about the R in courage. I've already talked about the C being curiosity, the O being open to vulnerability, the U, unconditional acceptance, which was the last episode. And today, like I said, is the R, which is resilience. And I wanted to have an episode out for today, and I debated whether or not I was going to talk about resilience for today. I kind of thought maybe I'd talk about something different because, truthfully, like I kind of mentioned in the last episode, I have been in a little bit of a rut, a little bit of just this weird place, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. I try not to look at these ruts as a bad thing because I think sometimes when you're in those ruts where you just don't really know which direction you're supposed to be going, although it can feel really hard and confusing and sometimes exhausting in many ways, I do think it's those periods in our life where we see the most lasting change and the most growth. And so I do see it as one of those things where you kind of just have to embrace it and know that this is a part of life and this is how we learn and how we grow. And so even though I kind of felt like a little bit of a fraud talking about resilience when I'm feeling this way, I actually kind of feel like that makes it even more important to talk about it because I'm talking about it from this place of I'm not perfect in any means, but I understand resilience and the importance of it. And it's times like this when I realize and remember just how important that resilience is and why we need to make it a priority in our day-to-day life to build that resilience. And it's easier building resilience when things are going good. You don't just wait until things fall apart and you think, okay, now I'm going to start to build up my resilience to life's hardships. You want to do that before that happens. But the reality is most people wait until their lives fall apart in some sort of way. And that's when they kind of realize, okay, it's now or never. I got to figure my shit out. So luckily for me, resilience has been a priority, doing things that build on my resilience and kind of widen that resilience, strengthen that resilience has been a part of my life for many years now. And so when I find myself in these times of, we can call them hardship or confusion or feelings of being in a rut, it's much easier for me to function, and I don't get stuck there for quite as long as I maybe once would, because I've already built a pretty strong foundation. And I would say that I'm pretty resilient at this point in my life, and that is due to a lot of work. It does not come easy. So, as I said, been in a bit of a rut. Life has felt a little bit heavy lately, and when I think about resilience, for me and for even Scott, we've definitely, we're being tested, and that's kind of how I keep looking at it. And I never want to pretend like I have it all figured out or that I'm immune to life's adversities. I always want to be honest, and so that's what I'm going to do today. I'm going to be honest at the beginning that things are a little weird right now, but I still believe in all of the same things that I did before, and resilience is still important. So it's not really about having it all figured out. It's about showing up even when it's hard. And today I really just want to have an honest conversation about that. I know that I am not alone in the struggle. I always remind myself of that. We all have a story. We all have ups and downs. Maybe you're going through a loss, a transition, or just a season where everything just feels like it's too much. If that's you, I want you to know that you are not alone. And more importantly, you have way more strength than you realize and that you give yourself credit for. What resilience really means, and to break down some of those misconceptions, is it isn't about bouncing back quickly. Okay, it's about adapting, it's about learning, and it's about sometimes just allowing yourself to just simply survive the day and giving yourself permission for that, and giving yourself grace and knowing that sometimes that's enough. And so people can assume that resilience maybe means that we never struggle, but the truth is it is the struggle that builds resilience. If you never had any struggles, if you never experienced any hardships, I always say if you never experienced sorrow, you can't really feel and experience that real joy. If we just went through life, everything being easy and never having any challenges, we wouldn't learn. When I think about where I was 9 years ago today, I couldn't even imagine getting through even that first week, let alone getting through the last 9 years and all the things that the last 9 years have involved and how it's looked. But resilience isn't built in a moment. It is built in all of those really small moments and those small choices that I think we sometimes don't see as that big of a deal. But things like getting up in the morning, taking real deep intentional breaths, allowing yourself to feel, and choosing to keep going. Those seem like really simple things that you can do, but the more you do those really small things, the bigger change that you see. So when I think about myself 9 years ago on this day and the days following, getting out of bed was, I can't even describe it. Eating, to me, I remember being force-fed watermelon and smoothies. Having family and cousins around me making me smoothies and bringing them to my bed and like forcing me to eat watermelon. I remember that. And it was just because the idea of putting that food in my mouth at that time was, it definitely chokes me up a little bit when I think about it, because when I think of the hardships that I might experience now, I never want to minimize what people are going through, but because it all matters and it's all valid. But for me personally, the things that I struggle with now and today they're important and they're valid, but when I look back on the days following February 20th of 2016, holy moly, it chokes me up, because I do remember that feeling of not even being able to eat food. And people often say, you know, just breathe. And you think that that's kind of just this cliche sort of thing that people say, but it's real. Because when you're in it, you do forget to breathe. You kind of walk around with this just shallow feeling, and you're taking very shallow breaths to the point where sometimes you just kind of forget, and then you lose your breath, and then you remember, oh, I need to breathe, because that's what keeps us alive. But when you're in the middle of some of those really hard times, you forget. You forget to breathe. And so part of building up that resilience, it's doing some of those small things. Getting up out of your bed, getting dressed, brushing your teeth, taking deep breaths, allowing yourself to feel, and choosing to keep going. And this applies not just to, you know, really, really tragic losses. This applies to day-to-day stress as well, because that day-to-day stress can really build and it can become chronic. And so all of these things apply to that as well. It doesn't just apply to the death of a person or really intense grief. I think sometimes we wait until things like that happen before we start to look at ourselves and realize, oh man, I really need to do some things to build up my resilience and keep me healthy. And that doesn't mean that if you build up your resilience that these things aren't going to hit you. They are. They're going to hit you like a ton of bricks. But at least you're going to have a strong foundation to work through it. Today, I still have days where grief hits really hard. And quite honestly, it definitely hits harder when I'm neglecting my own needs and my own self-care. And when I say self-care, I don't mean bubble baths and candles, although those things are really awesome. But what I mean when I say self-care is a much deeper kind of look at yourself and work that you do on yourself, which I will get into probably in the next episode when I talk about building self-awareness, because it's a lot more, again, like I said, than bubble baths and candles. It's much more than that. And so I have learned that things like grief, hardships, stress, you know, all those kind of difficult, challenging parts of our life, they can coexist with resilience. That's actually the goal. You want to be able to have a strong foundation. You want to have a great amount of resilience so that, again, when those things happen, because this is life and they will happen, it is not if, it is when, you can come at it from a nice, strong foundation. On top of that, you know, if we're being real, you know, and I've explained I'm in a rut, and again, I know I'm not the only one, it sometimes just can feel like life throws so much at us that moving forward can sometimes feel impossible. But these seasons, they don't mean that we're failing. They mean we're human. And I say that, and I find it really important to say that, because as we were leading up to today, the anniversary, I was feeling a little bit gray because of where we're at right now. And don't get me wrong, overall, life is still amazing. It's still beautiful. I still appreciate so much of what I have. I'm still grateful, but life is happening, just like it is to everybody else. And sometimes you can feel almost like you're going backwards. And so as I was leading up to today, I just was reflecting on the last 9 years and all of the growth and all of the blessings. And I just thought, how are we even here right now? And even with that, I kind of look at it from this place of we're being tested. And I think I've come a long way in my growth journey that I'm able to look at things like that. So if you don't see hardships that way, that is okay. I haven't always either. But I see it that way. Like, what am I supposed to learn from this? And me and Scott have those conversations like, man, the universe is kicking our ass right now, but it's for a reason, and we don't really get to know what that reason is just yet. And it's kind of that old saying, and I don't know if somebody specific came up with it, but it's kind of like life is the only test where you don't get the lesson first. You have to go through the test to get the lesson instead of getting the lesson and then go through the test. It's kind of backwards. So you get tested and then you get to know the lesson. It's very frustrating. It makes life very interesting sometimes. And so that's kind of where we're at. You know, like, what are we supposed to be learning right now? And why does it feel like sometimes we take 10 steps forward and 15 steps back? And I think one of the hardest but most freeing things that I've learned is that resilience isn't about eliminating pain and hardship. It's about learning to live alongside pain and hardship without letting it define you. I never wanted to go through the loss that I did. Obviously, nobody wakes up in the morning and, you know, prays to lose somebody that they love deeply. But at the same time, I know that it has shaped me in ways that I never expected. I have also shared before in past blogs and just in conversation with people that Nick's death was by far the worst thing that has ever happened to me at this point in my life, but also one of the best things that ever happened to me. And I say that knowing that some people might hear that and think, what? How could you even say that? But when I look at the blessings and the lessons and all of the things that have come from that loss, I don't know where I would have been had Nick not died. I don't know. I obviously wouldn't have the family that I do now. I wouldn't have the growth that I do now. It's hard to look back and think of where I would be had he not died, and you can't really do that because it's impossible. But I do know that the things, you know, I can't change the fact that he died. That's something I can't change. What I can change is my outlook on it. And I have learned that because of the things that came from it, I do see it in some ways as a blessing. I see it as a intense pain, but also a really beautiful blessing. If you would have told me 9 years ago that I'd be here sharing this and helping others and doing the work that I do now, I wouldn't have believed it. But resilience isn't about knowing the whole path in front of you. It's about trusting that even when we can't see what's ahead, we can take that first step. And I do remember when I was in the thick of it and things were ugly. You know, it wasn't about that toxic positivity and waking up in the morning and telling myself I was happy and joyful and so excited about the day, because all of that was bullshit at that time. That's not how I felt at all. I didn't feel any of that. I was sad. I was a lot of times angry. I, in many ways, had a lot of negativity in my mind and in my heart. I wasn't necessarily taking care of myself super great. But in all of that, I had a teeny tiny little ounce of hope in there. You know, I can see other people who have moved through this kind of loss, and they've come out on the other side and they're doing really great. And if they can do it, well, I can do it too. And so even though I was allowing myself to be true in how I was feeling and experience all of those really ugly emotions, I still also had in the back of my mind, in the back of my heart, a little bit of hope, because I eventually made the decision that I did want to live. I didn't want to die alongside Nick. I wanted to carry on. I wanted to live. I had things to live for. I had people to live for. And so when I made that decision, I had to have that hope that it was possible for me. and that things could be normal. It was a new normal, but things could be normal and things could be beautiful again. I had to have that little bit of hope, and eventually that hope grew. I believed it a little bit more, and things just started to change on much bigger levels. So although I started off just by force feeding myself and dragging myself out of bed, those teeny tiny small little choices that I made every single day turned into medium choices and then bigger choices and decisions and things that I did every day. It took time. It did not happen overnight. So if you're finding yourself in a hard season right now, I really just want you to know, especially today, because days like today, although they're becoming a lot less sharp, these anniversary days, I still always try to make a point of reflecting and looking back at where I was compared to where I am now. And so if you are in that hard season and you're going through some stuff, I really want you to know that I do see you. I don't have all of the answers for you, but I see you. And I know that you are much stronger than you think. That is a lot of what I do in my work now, is I help people to realize their innate strength that they have. Your pain does not define you. Your struggles do not mean that you're failing. Every single day that you choose to keep going, even in the smallest of ways, you are building resilience. And so I challenge you to take a moment today, if you can. I will probably do the same thing. And just write down one way that you have been resilient, even if it feels small. You know, what is one thing that you've gone through that you didn't think at that time it was going to be okay, that you didn't think at that time you could overcome? Look back, because you will find something. There is something in there, whether big or small or in between. There is some time in your life when you were going through something that you felt like it was never going to get better, or you were not going to find a way to overcome it. And so try to just sit down and think about that, write it down, and recognize your strength in that, in overcoming whatever that story is and that time in your life is. Even if you don't feel like you've completely overcome it, or if you feel like it's something that you're still grappling with or moving through, even just think about those small little wins that you had in that. And you might be in something right now. Don't use that as an example. Find a time before that you experienced something, a hardship, a loss, and remind yourself of how you moved through that and how you overcame that. Like I said, today is going to be a little bit of a shorter one. I just wanted to get on and talk a little bit about resilience and what that looks like. So just for a few takeaways of what I talked about, when you think about resilience, try to remember how important self-compassion over judgment is. So we often speak to ourselves in ways that we would never in a million years speak to a good friend. What would change if you gave yourself the kindness that you give others? I see this with people all the time that I work with, especially people who are grieving, and they come into my office and they just say, I don't know what's taking me so long. I don't know why I can't just get over this. I don't know why, you know, and these are people who might only be 2, 3, 4 months out from their loss, and they're so hypercritical on themselves about not getting over it fast enough. And so we often sit there and just kind of go through, okay, if you were a friend of yours right now, I mean like a really genuine, kind friend who wants what's best for you, not a friend who's going to say, yeah, I agree, like, what is taking you so long? I mean those friends who are willing to sit with you and hold space for you. What would you say to a friend who is going through what you're going through, would you tell them to just hurry up and get over it and, you know, pull up their big girl pants and, you know, just move on? Some people would say that. But the reality is it takes time. And you have to allow yourself to go at your own pace. And when you're building resilience, you have to be real in what you're experiencing. You can't just push it down and expect it to never surface again. I always use that boogie board analogy. You know, if you're on a boogie board and you're pushing it underwater and pushing it underwater, eventually it's going to come up and it's probably going to smack you right in the face. So you have to be able to move through grief and challenges and hardships at your own pace and honor every step of it. And if you watched a friend going through the same thing, what would you tell them? And when you come up with that, tell yourself the very same thing. Also, allow yourself to celebrate small wins. Those small wins do matter. So on those really particular hard days, if you got out of bed, ate a meal, stepped outside, you know, brushed your teeth, maybe did your hair, those are really, they seem like small wins, but those are actually really big. Those things, when you go through something really challenging, you realize how much we take for granted. You realize how much those little things, you know, when they're kind of just, when you're kind of just on autopilot and you just like get up, brush your teeth, get dressed, you know, and those things just flow really nicely, we really take that for granted. It's actually extremely difficult to do those things consistently when you're going through hard times. And I could say this probably pretty confidently, that every single person listening to this is probably sitting there nodding their head like, oh yeah, totally. I can't imagine anybody is sitting here listening to this who hasn't been through something really challenging. Give yourself permission to feel everything. So resilience is not about being positive all the time. It's, and I probably will have an episode sometime on toxic positivity, because I mean, on one hand, it's great. And I think spreading positivity and empowering people, it's really important. And I'm not knocking that, but we also have to be realistic sometimes. Sometimes it takes a little bit of time to get there. And so resilience isn't about being positive and just putting on that happy face. Resilience isn't about suppressing that pain. It's about holding that space for both the struggle and the hope. And that's really what I allowed myself to do. And I think that made a big difference in my healing, is that, and you can see that in my writing, in my blog, in my new normal blog. I can put the link below in this episode, but you could see through that, for sure in the first year, that I was very much holding both that struggle and that hope. And it was a dance, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And it was hard sometimes, because you would be doing really well. When I say you, I mean me. And then grief would hit me like a ton of bricks again. And I'd be back in my bed, not being able to move and not being able to brush my teeth and feed myself and, you know, bathe. And it was hard to communicate with people about that, because they would think, well, man, you were doing so good. What happened? And that is part of why it's really important to surround yourself with people who get it. And if they don't necessarily get it, they're able to hold that space, whether you're struggling or whether you're hopeful, they're able to hold both of those. So making sure that you surround yourself with the right people when you're going through challenges. Honor your journey. Your pain matters. So in life, it's not just about the great times and the happy times and when things are going really well. The pain matters too. Your experience that you're going through is valid. And your resilience and what that looks like for you doesn't have to look the same as anybody else's. It's about figuring out what that needs to look like for you, and then continue to do that and build on that resilience so that you have that strong foundation. Find a way that you can give back or connect. one of the most healing things that we can do is to turn our pain into something that helps others. And so this isn't about necessarily distracting yourself to the point where you're not, where you're just avoiding the hard stuff, because that's where things can get a little bit dicey. You don't want to throw yourself into one thing and avoid the healing part of it, because that stuff is really important. You have to be able to process grief and hardships, and sometimes we'll throw ourselves into other things as a distraction tool, as a maybe not so adaptive coping mechanism, and we'll talk about that in future episodes as well, because this stuff comes up all the time in my work, and I think it's important to talk about it a little bit, and so I will. But finding ways to just give back and connect, even when I think about today and when I thought about whether or not I would post an episode today, I really wanted to, because for me, connecting is really important. This is how I build my resilience. This is how I have a strong foundation. For me, talking about things, sharing things, giving people examples of what has worked for me, what has worked for other people, giving myself the opportunity to see other people so that they feel seen and feel heard and feel validated, that helps me in my own healing. It's so important for me to do that. Even just this, you know, 30, 40 minute episode, whatever it's going to be when I'm done recording it and editing it and all that, even just being able to sit down and do this brings me a lot of healing, brings me a lot of meaning, brings me a lot of hope. And being able to do that, although it seems minor and pretty small and pretty easy to do, the benefits from it can be invaluable. And finally, if you're finding yourself in some hard times, if you're grieving the loss of a loved one, a job, you know, anything, wherever you're at, just remember that grief, hardship, struggles, they don't erase the possibility of joy. Both of those things can exist. And I talk about this all the time with people, that we can hold those parallel emotions. We can feel deep sadness while at the same time find joy. And I experience this all the time. I am living in a life that I never could have imagined. Even though there's ups and downs, and we're dealing with some of those ups and downs right now, it's still, I couldn't have, 9 years ago, I could not have in a million years imagined this life that has been built for me. I just couldn't. And so my grief does come up. And some days I'll just have a tear in my eye. Or some days I'll look at something and I'll just remember. Or I will think to myself, I wonder what that could have been like. Or I wish Nick could have experienced this. I wish he could have lived past 30. And those thoughts do make me sad in the moment. And I have to work through those in my own way and at my own pace. And they still do come up from time to time. But usually when they come up, it's when I'm doing something really awesome, or when I'm having an experience that is really joyful or inspiring, and then I just have that glimpse of, man, I wish he could have experienced this. And so it's those parallel emotions of, this is really freaking awesome, but I'm also kind of sad and I miss him. And I've learned to carry both of those things at the same time. You don't have to push one down. So if you're feeling sad and happy, you don't have to push either of those down. You can feel both. And I think where it becomes problematic and where we lose some of that resilience is when we think that we can only have one of those emotions. Sometimes we choose the one that just feels easier. And so maybe in those moments, you might just shove away that sadness and just say, like, get out of here. I don't even want to think about it. And just carry on with that joyful feeling. And that's fine. But at the same time, that sadness is coming up for a reason. And we should really try to embrace it. Because those feelings are valid too. And so allowing yourself to hold space for all of it is really, really important when it comes to building that resilience. So that's all I really have to say today. Like I said, the next episode, as far as I know, I plan on talking about some of that self-awareness, which is very much connected to building resilience. The more self-aware you are in many different aspects of life and mental health and physical health and all of those things, the more that resilience grows. And so they are very much connected. All of the things within the word courage are very much connected. So the next one, we will talk about some self-awareness. And so I will give some examples and some really real life tools and practical tips as you're building that self-awareness to actually build the resilience as well, and to actually know what that looks like. So I will get into that. So if you're leaving this episode kind of thinking, but I want to know more about how to actually build my resilience, I'm going to get into that. I just wanted to kind of share a little bit today just about my experience with resilience. I wanted to just share today because it's February 20th and I find this very healing and therapeutic. And so I wanted to get on and just talk about that a little bit. But there's more to come. So thank you for being here with me today. Again, if this episode resonated with you in any way, or you think that it would be helpful for somebody that you know who might need it, feel free to share. If you're in the trenches right now, just remember, resilience is not about being unbreakable. It is about knowing that even in those hard times, even in those times when we just feel like there is just no moving forward, there is, and you can find it. You can find a way forward. And I see you. You're not alone. And I hope that this episode today gave you a little bit of peace.
Thank you for tuning in to Meg Roberts Unplugged. If this episode has ignited something within you and you believe it could benefit someone else, don't hesitate to share it. You never know the impact it could have on someone's day or life. I'm always eager to hear your thoughts and insights, so feel free to reach out to me at any of the locations listed in the show notes. If you're interested in exploring any of these topics or conversations further, my contact information will be linked in the show notes as well. And finally, if you haven't already, I would truly appreciate it if you could take a moment to rate and review the podcast. Your support helps spread the messages shared on this podcast and will help reach those who may resonate with them. Thank you for being a part of this journey, and until next time, have hope and be safe.